Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with my special guest, Minister Harold Copeland. We are in studio today, and we are so forever grateful that you have returned with us to continue in this broadcast and continue in this wonderful series under the umbrella of discipleship. The very nature of God is our focus, and it has been a wonderful, exciting learning experience to know and come to know the love of God. It is so magnificent. His love is everlasting. He gave his love to us, and his love remains as we share his love through us, is the blessing of experiencing him in all intimacy, that we are his workmanship, that the word of God will continue to be proclaimed across the airways and from one heart to another. This is our mission, mission from the heart. So Minister Harold and I will continue in this series. We ask that you come with a hearing ear from God and a willingness of heart, and that you come hungry, table of God, the very word of God, the Bible. So we encourage you to get your Bibles and get some paper or a pen to take notes that you can reflect back on at your private study time. This is so important for our discipleship growth, to be able to reflect back on what the Lord has spoken to you in his fullness and richness of his word, that you will come to know him and be ready to proclaim him. And that's what discipleship is about. So we are going to just go right into the teaching of the very nature of God. And I'm going to just pass the honor over to my brother in Christ, Minister Harold Copeland, as we continue to reflect and relish and bathe ourselves in the very nature of Minister Copeland.
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Hello again, everybody. We welcome you to the broadcast. God bless you. I am Brother Harold Copeland, and along with our host, Minister Carnita Smith, yes, 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 we are in studio together again. We always like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio broadcast. We always want you to know that it is an honor to fellowship with you concerning the truth of the Word of God. We want you to know that we love you. We appreciate you, and we thank God for your lives. But most importantly, God loves you. He has a plan for your life, and every time you open your heart to receive the word of God, God is downloading revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit into your heart that will release his divine plan for your life. and you too shall stand and fulfill God's destiny for your life. As was said earlier, we are still on the series under the umbrella of discipleship. And today, we will be discussing, focusing on the topic, again, the very nature of God, the true nature of God. And with no further ado, we are going to dive right into the teaching. And you know, we always like to start out by reading our Launchpad scripture. And our Launchpad scripture comes out of the book of Matthew, chapter number 28, starting with verse 16 through verse 20.
Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen.
Amen. Our foundational scripture for this teaching come out of the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3, also started with verse 16 through verse 21.
"That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen."
Amen. And I like that great scripture. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all. Somebody say exceeding abundantly above all. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. In the way we say that in the old country churches is, God is doing a work in me and through me with no help from me. All he wants me to do is make myself available and trust him. Doing a work in me and through me with no help from me. Somebody say that. In me and through me with no help from me. And all he wanted me to do is trust him and make myself available. The book of Proverbs tells us to trust the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Somebody say, don't go there. No. Don't go to your own understanding. Just trust the Lord with all your heart. And don't go there. Lean not to your own understanding. And it's an all-powerful word. Covers a lot of ground. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct your path. That's love. That's the agape. The unconditional love of God. The very nature of God. And that's the way God deals with the people of the new covenant. A people of the New Testament era. And guess what? Somebody said, what? I'm glad you asked. That's you and me. The new covenant. The New Testament era generation. That's us. Love, the Father's heart of love. And God always wanted to deal with mankind in this way because, as we have taught over the weeks, love is his very nature. Love is God's very nature. Love is God's true nature. Love is the very essence of who God is. And every time God shows up, guess who shows up? A love that blows our mind. Oh, yes. And, you know, one day we all just need to take a moment and just sit down and get quiet and say, God, come love on my heart and blow my mind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I tell you what, he'll do it. Glory to God, because he want to do it to us more than we want him to do it. It's his will. Amen. That we receive his fullness. And when we receive his fullness, we receive nothing but love. Through the teaching, we show by scripture that it's clear in the word of God that it never was God's desire to deal with mankind so firmly like he did in the Old Testament, so harshly like he did in the Old Covenant. That's not God's real nature and character. Glory to God. And because we haven't known this, we have a misimpression, a mixed impression of who God really is. We haven't seen him in his fullness. Glory to God. Amen. And his fullness is love. And it has nothing to do with us. Amen. We don't have to perform to earn or to receive. Jesus Christ did all the performing, but he gave the benefit of the performance, his performance, to us. Amen. And he freely gave it to us. And we should freely receive it because it is God's will. Now, most of us don't really recognize or understand the depth. That's a deep word. And it goes in our hearts. The depth of the love, the mercy, and the compassion that God has toward us. Love, mercy, compassion. And it's by grace, which is unmerited favor. We don't earn it. We didn't deserve it. Would have never earned it. Would have never deserved it. But by faith in Christ. And right now, by faith in Christ, just open up your heart and receive the love, the mercy, and the compassion of God. Receive it by faith, because God wants you to have it. Through grace, the unmerited favor of our God. I'm receiving it with you. Yes. I'm receiving the love of God. I'm receiving the mercy of God. I'm receiving the compassion of God. I'm receiving it by grace through faith, not by works, that any man should boast. And so, because we don't know the fullness of God, and we get this mistaken impression of God, it keeps us at arm's length. I tell you, when I was in religion, I dreaded coming into the presence of God because I thought it would be my last time that he would just blow me up or hit me in the head with his gavel, you know, because of false teaching. People teaching God through the Old Testament and not teaching about God through Jesus Christ. And we're gonna hit on that through this teaching today. And because of false teaching, it is so important to harmonize, somebody say harmonize, all the word of God. Somebody say all. We have to harmonize all the word of God. And that includes the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, and harmonize it with the New Covenant, the New Testament. And when we harmonize the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, only then we can get a firm, somebody say firm, only then we can get a firm understanding of God's true nature. Now let's bring scripture in here. Let us go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, starting with verse 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Now, I got a real quick joke I got to tell before the reading. Okay, this is my joke. Why do women do not supposed to make the coffee? Why do women do not supposed to make the coffee? Somebody say why? I'm glad you asked. Women do not supposed to make the coffee because the Bible says Hebrews. So we're reading out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4.
Hebrews 1:1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightest of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they.
Amen. Now, in verse 3, it says, Jesus is the brightness of God's glory. Somebody say that, brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. In other words, Jesus is an exact representation of God. Jesus is God's very nature, God truly nature, revealed in the earth realm. And now, since Jesus lives in our hearts, and if you haven't accepted him, we are a salvation ministry. You will get a time to have him in your heart today. And since Jesus is in our hearts, the brightness of God's glory and the express image of God's person is abiding on the inside of us. The brightness of God's glory. Think about that. Just think about that. The express image of God's person, God's very nature, is revealed to us and through us in our heart. And we have the power to release that express image, brightness of God's glory. We can release him through and through us. That means we can release him out of our spirits and open up our minds, which is the doorway of our soul, and release him in our minds, and he will begin to dwell in our minds and enter into our souls. And our soul just has access to our physical body, and we can release that brightness of his glory and that express image of God through and through us, through and through us. Come on, begin to receive him through and through us, because he lives on the inside of us. And he wants all of us. When we got saved, God put him in our spirits. But it's our job to release him. See, our spirit salvation is, God did that. Can a man do a spirit salvation? But Paul said we can do a soul salvation. He said, work out your soul salvation. And that is getting the spirit salvation into the soul. And the way we do it is by the renewing of our mind. It's by the way we think. We got to get our head mind to think like the spirit mind that God gave us. If we don't, we're going to be double-minded. And the Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. We can have the God mind in our spirit, but if we don't renew our mind, we're going to have our old unrenewed mind, and then we're going to be double-minded. But once we begin to renew our mind with the word of God by being discipled, and that's what we're doing today, we're being discipled. And we're getting our carnal mind to line up with the spirit mind, the miracle that God did in our spirit, and we'll no longer be double-minded, we'll be single-minded. And that glory, brightness of God's glory that's in our spirit can be released into our minds and into our souls and into our physical body, the express image of God. See, I told you, he was doing exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, and it's according to the power that works in us. And like I said, the country church, God is doing a work in us and through us with no help from us. All we do is make ourselves available. And that's what you did when you came to the studio. And those that called in, that's what you made yourself available. And now since we have positioned ourselves and made ourselves available unto God, and if we can't trust him for no other reason, let's trust him because he's God. Let's trust him because he's God and he loves us dearly. The express image of God in the brightness of his glory is abiding in us. Receive it by faith. And in this teaching, we are going to see that the love, the mercy, and the forgiveness that God offered us in the New Testament era. Remember, that's you and me. That he offered us through Jesus Christ. It was always available to mankind, even in the Old Testament. Yes. You know, the scripture tells us God the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same God. He haven't changed. But what happened in the Old Testament, man's response to God's goodness in the Old Testament forced God to deal with mankind more harshly. In other words, they didn't have a Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ was not manifested, amen, in the earth realm during the Old Covenant. Now, as we harmonize the Old and the New Testament, we're going to see clearly God's true nature is the agape, his unconditional love that he has for us. Not based on our performance and our doing, but based on what Jesus Christ has already done for us. He already done it, and whatever we need, God has already provided for us. And somebody may be asking, if Jesus represents the true nature of God, just exactly what God was doing in the Old Testament. And let's look at the Word of God, because the Word of God always tells us about God and what the things that God are doing. And we want to go to my favorite book. I do have a favorite book. My favorite book, the Book of Romans. The Book of Romans, and a beautiful chapter. If you ever get time, read the whole chapter. This chapter, chapter 5, read that. This chapter compares and contrasts Adam to Jesus, and it's done very, very well, very eloquently. So we want to do Romans chapter 5, and we want to read verse 13.
Romans 5:13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law.
Amen. When we look at the word law, we can be talking about the entire, let's use the word entire, Old Testament, entire Old Testament, or entire Old Covenant. But in this case, the word law used in context of this scripture is a little bit more specific. When we say law here, we are referring to the Mosaic law. This includes the Ten Commandments, any type of judgment, any type of punishment, and all of the ordinance and ceremonial observance. That's what the law. And the law is when Moses went up to Mount Sinai and he received the Ten Commandments from God. So what we're going to do, what the scripture is doing, the scripture is covering a time period. And the time period that it is covering is until the law, so that's until Moses received the Ten Commandments from God. But that's where it ends, the period ends. It says the sin was not imputed when there was no law. So what it is covering when sin began, and we know when sin began, that was in the Garden of Eden through the disobedience of Adam and Eve. So it's covering the period immediately after Adam and Eve sinned until Moses took the law from God. That's the time period. Immediately after Adam and Eve sinned until Moses took the Ten Commandments from God. And during that time period, sin was not imputed when there is no law. During that time period, and you know, we talk about imputed, it's a accounted term, and it means to put on somebody's account or put against someone or charge to someone. So right after Adam and Eve sinned, until Moses took the law from God's hand and took it down to the people, God was not putting sin on people's account. Sin was in the world, oh yes, because it started with Adam and Eve. Sin started with Adam and Eve disobedience. But sin was in the world, but God was not putting it to their account. So we need to focus on that time period. Now, once Adam got the law, then the people knew what was acceptable and what was not acceptable. And that's when God began to put sin on people's account. And see, I liken that to when I was in Europe. That period, immediately after Adam sinned until Moses got the law, I liken that period when I was in Europe. You know, on the Europe highways, they call it the Autobahn. And on the Autobahn, there is no law. I mean it. There is no law. In other words, there's no speed limit. Autobahn, you can go as fast as your car can go, as fast as you can drive that car. There is no speed limit. There is no law. It will not be put on your account. It will not be charged against you for speeding because there is no law. You can go as fast as you want to. And that's how God was treating people in that time period, immediately after sin, until Moses received the Ten Commandments. God was not charging sin against people. And sin was in the world. And that's before the law. Before the law of Moses was introduced, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. And we know imputed, to take what has been done and apply it to one's account, to hold transgressions against someone. We will say that until God gave the law to Moses, sin was not being held against people. That's love. That's not a harsh judgment. That's not dealing with people firmly. That is the unconditional love of God, the very nature of God between that time period. The same nature that we are experiencing in the New Testament, the New Covenant, and remember, that's you and me. During that time period, immediately after the sin, and right unto the point that Moses received the law, the unconditional love of God, the very nature love of God, the true nature love of God, was revealed to a people back then, just like it is revealed to us right now, because we have the blood of Jesus Christ that speaks for us, cleanses all of our sins, not just the sin before we got saved. No, 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 no. There's power. I say there's power. There's wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus. And his blood is so powerful. Oh, yes, it did. The blood of Jesus did pay for our sins before we got saved. But it also paid for our sins today, and our sins tomorrow, and our sins forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. That's why we sing the song. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was alone, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. Come on, let's thank God for the blood of Jesus. God, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes us, that cleanses us, that purges us. Oh, yes, God, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that has paid for all of our sins. Sins of yesterday, sins of today, sins of tomorrow, forever and ever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's the benefit of receiving the agape, the very nature of God. Maybe there's somebody out there in Radio Land or somebody in the studio that haven't had the blessed opportunity to receive the brightness of God's glory on the inside of them, and the express image of God revealed in them, in the person of Jesus Christ himself, by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm here to tell you, the greatest day of your life, and when you position yourself to listen to the broadcast, to come to the broadcast, you have positioned yourself for the greatest miracle that any of mankind, any man, woman, boy, or girl can receive. And that's the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And as the Holy Spirit is drawing you in, Brother Harold, going to get out of the way of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to stop. I'm going to drop. And I'm going to pray and turn the microphone over to my host, Minister Kenita Smith. She been anointed to take us to the cross. Minister Smith, take us to the cross.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Harold, for allowing me, just I just give thanks to God that we can co-labor together and just bring praises to the Lord through the teaching of the word and through the extending of Jesus Christ to a heart, somebody who may not know him in the pardoning of their sin. And this is a delight for me to know that we are here to walk alongside you who may not know him now, and to those who do know him, that we can be an encouragement to you to be revived, to walk alongside us as we work together, allowing others to come into the ark of salvation, to come to know him intimately and personally. Now is the time that we get serious, just as serious with ministering the word of God. We are now serious about allowing you to prepare your heart to receive and surrender your life to him. This is an important time as well. And so we want to stop, drop, and pray that the Lord would come into you, if you let him now, if you let him. And the reason why I say that is because it is your willingness of heart. It is your whole heart. Because, you know, we can do things half-hearted. And it takes your whole heart to come to the feet of Jesus, to the throne of grace, that you surrender yourself, your whole self, to him. And for us to have God's peace and God's life. And what I mean by God's peace, experiencing his peace and life, is abundant and eternal life. Romans 5:1 says this, one of Minister Copeland's favorite books is the book of Romans. And in chapter 5, we read verse 13, but I'm going to read verse 1. It says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We experience peace with God through who? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John 10:10 says this, I have come that you may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And this is a promise that we would have life more abundantly, eternally. So we are going to pray, and you are going to humble yourself at the feet of Jesus. Now, I always encourage my brothers and sisters to pray with me and Minister Harold as we go to the throne of grace, but I also encourage them to lift up that one somebody that the Lord has impressed upon your heart. Lift them up. Call them by name, that they would be saved as well. It may be a coworker on the job. It may be a spouse or a wayward child. It may be that lost individual who may be homeless under the bridge. Whomever the Lord has placed on your heart to intercede for, let's lift them up today. So as we go in prayer, we are going to walk alongside you as you lay your heart at his feet. So let's pray. Now remember, it's my words, but it's your heart that God sees as you pray to him. So let's pray. Lord God, I know that I am a sinner. Lord, I know I have not lived a life that glorifies you. Lord, I know my mind or thoughts take me in back dens and dark places that are not healthy for me or anybody else. I know my mind and thoughts have held me captive in a spirit of pornography or a spirit of unhealthy viewing on the internet, spirit of mental jealousy, a mental envy, or even in a mindset of gossip about others. Lord, I know these are not healthy for me. These are mindsets and thoughts that go against your word. Lord, I've even acted in a way that does not show love. Lord, I come to you the best I know how to surrender my life to you. I trust your word. I believe by faith what Jesus did on the cross for me. He gave up his life for my sins. For I'm not worthy. I didn't earn anything, Lord. And it is by your saving grace that you graciously pursued me. Lord, I heard you knocking on the heart, on the door of my heart. I heard you, Lord, but I ignored you. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. As I come as repentant as I know how, asking for forgiveness. Lord, you are my way. You are my life. And I trust and obey you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for providing for me when I know I was not right with you. Thank you, Lord, for just giving me the air to breathe my next breath. Lord, here I am. I surrender my life to you. You are my God. You are my Savior. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord, for you are now in the household of faith, the ark of salvation. You are a child of God. The angels are rejoicing because of You gave your life to Christ, my brother, my sister. You did this, and this is a rejoicing moment in heaven. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We rejoice with you, and I know you're going to be changed. You're already changed because of the step you have taken to surrender, to anchor yourself in Him. He is your guide. He is your Lord. Now, we encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church somewhere in your community, online. Seek them out. Pray and ask God to lead you to that healthy church, preaching the gospel, Bible teaching, and seek out a small group Bible study. Maybe a Sunday school class is always good, or a small group Bible study within your community, that you would continue to grow and go in grace along with Mission from the Heart. So we rejoice with you. Also, ask to be baptized by submersion of water. Hallelujah. So when you come up out of the water, my word, you will rejoice and let the whole world know that you are a follower in Christ Jesus. This is a joy in itself, to let the world know that you testify that you are a child of God. Hallelujah. So remember, prayer is important. Our communication to our God. It may not be easy to be a follower of Christ wherever you may be, but always remember to lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him through prayer, acknowledge Him through praise, acknowledge Him outwardly living, and He will direct your path. Don't forget that He will direct our path. So, hallelujah, praises to God. Minister Copeland, we are ready to hear from you and give thanks for those who have extended their heart to Him through salvation in Jesus Christ. Minister Copeland?
Amen. I would like to congratulate my brothers and sisters that made that the greatest decision that any person, any mankind that came out of a woman's womb would have to make. The most important decision that you will ever make in your life. That's even now starting to change the direction of your destiny. Because God started the work. And He is faithful and just to finish the work He has started in you. And that's why we ask that you join a Bible teaching church and get into a Bible study and listen to Mission from the Heart radio broadcast, because now it's time to renew your mind, which is your soul. The doorway to your soul is part of the soul, but it's the door you have to go through to get into your soul. And that part of you need renewing. Paul tells us in Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you, brother, that means I'm begging you, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, and be ye not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And see, just in layman's terms, what happened is, John chapter 4, verse 24 tells us that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must, M-U-S-T, worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. So once we come to God and receive Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, which you did today, we're a three-part being. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a physical body. And God only, when you got saved today, only one-third of you got saved. That's your spirit. And your spirit looked just like Jesus. 1 John 4:17 tells us, as Jesus is, so are you right now in this world. They look just like Jesus. And the word tells us, he that's joined is unto the Lord is one in spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You've been liberated in your spirit. Somebody say, liberation. Yes. And now our job is what Paul commanded us, work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling. So the spirit salvation that's in our spirit, we have to work it out of our spirits and get it in our minds so we can get into our souls. And our soul received the same salvation that our spirit has. And our soul will release this salvation into our physical body. And that's what we call renewing the mind. And we have to have a good Bible teaching church, a good Wednesday night Bible study, amen, a good study group. Always listen to Mission from the Heart radio broadcast. Because it's a journey now, and it's a peaceful, you know, full of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such, there is no law. Hallelujah. Amen. And that intimate relationship with God is developed. And there's no limitation on how close we can come to him. The Bible says, draw nigh unto the Lord, and he will draw nigh unto you. And as we attend our church services, as we attend our Bible study, as we attend our study group, as we listen to Mission from the Heart radio, we are drawing nigh unto the Lord with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our souls. I tell you what, there's a party in heaven right now because you have received your salvation. The angels are rejoicing, and God's heart has been satisfied. And I tell you what, that just filled me up with love, joy, and peace, and faith, and it makes me give God the highest praise. Hallelujah! Because he deserves all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name. And we just invite you back next week because we are going after the crawl, after the fall. We're going to go into Genesis after the fall And we are going to show you by scripture, somebody let's say by scripture, that God was not being harsh or dealing firmly with Adam and Eve when he took them out of the garden. We're going to show by scripture that God was operating in love, joy, peace, grace, and mercy. I'm so excited, and we'll see you next week in Jesus' name. Minister Smith.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, we will be with you again, and we pray that you are able to join us again at the table with good food, good word for the soul, so that you would be filled with the word of God. And now, always remember that the word of God, it'll never go away. It will never go away, and don't let anybody tell you that it will. It's here to stay. Seasons come and they go away. But somehow or another, God has a beautiful way of making them come back again. But the word of God that's hidden in your heart is the main reason why we know it won't go away. Because the more that you receive, the more you will pour into someone else, that they will receive, and as long as they live, God will use his divine nature to pour into someone else's heart. So we know that the word of God will remain forever and ever and ever. Now, this is what scripture tells us. Nothing that Carnita has said, nothing that Minister Copeland has said, it is written in scripture. The grass withered, the flowers faded, but the word of God will remain forever and ever. So we thank you for being a blessing to us as faithful listeners to Mission from the Heart. And we thank you most of all for being faithful to Yahweh God, praising him, glorifying him, and serving him in newness of life. Hallelujah. So we just pray, continue to have a blessed week in the word of God. God bless you.